My Bible reading is 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. That, if you've got a church Bible, that's page 1190 in your church Bibles, 1190. So that's 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, and verses 1 to 5. This is Paul writing to a church in Thessalonica city. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honoured, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your heart into God's love and into Christ's perseverance. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to have a little look at that passage today on this Partnership Sunday. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Partnership Sunday. Thank you that it's an opportunity to listen to your word and how it speaks into how we relate together as churches. Please be speaking to us and changing us from within. Change our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I moved down to Enfield in July 2021, and this is my fourth Partnership Sunday. I don't know how many Partnership Sundays you've gone through. I'm not going to ask you to shout out, but maybe you can think of a figure in your head. If you've only just joined Berry Street Community Church, this church is part of something called Together for Mission. And we've talked a little bit about what Together for Mission is. It's a mission for a family of FIC churches, Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches, which is a group of churches which roughly numbers about 500 across England and Scotland and Wales, working together to reach out with the gospel in and around Enfield. And so once a year to express our partnership, and to maybe get us excited about our partnership. That's when our different pastors do a little bit of musical chairs, musical pulpits. We swap pulpits. And so you know that Jake's over at Enfield Town Community Church, and I've come over here. You can work out later who got the better deal. But it's a way of expressing our partnership once a year, reminding us that you're not just Berry Street Community Church on your own. You are part of a larger partnership. So as we experience another Partnership Sunday, I wonder how excited you are to be part of the Together for Mission network. So just imagine there's a computer screen or a bit of paper, and you've got a scale on which you set. And the question is, how excited are you to be part of the Together for Mission partnership? And 1 is, I'm not excited at all. And 10 is I'm so excited I cannot sleep. And I'm not sure many, if any, maybe Nathan might be at 10, but not many people will be at 10, let's put it that way. So Nathan's my boss back at Enfield Town Community Church. I wonder what number you would circle. 1 is like, I'm not bothered at all. 10 is, I'm so excited, it's the most important thing ever. Well, it doesn't matter in your mind whether you circled a number 3 or a number 6, or even if you circled number 10, yeah, good on you. But let me give you a reason to get excited about the partnership that will hopefully shift you at least one notch closer to 10. And the reason why we want to get excited about the partnership is because normally we pray for what we're excited about. Normally we pray for what we get excited about. So here's a reason to get excited about the partnership. There we go. This is Turkey Street. We talked a little bit about Turkey Street. This wasn't last Sunday. It was 2 Sundays ago. The first public launch of Turkey Street in the building, which has been renovated, and there's a number of people from America come over to do some work, sort of door to door work and evangelism. For years, that building was run down. It wasn't used to reach out to the estate. There was no church meeting there that wanted to tell people on the Elsinge estate about Jesus. In fact, Turkey Street Community Church is the first church that's planted as a Together for Mission church. In other words, all the six churches working together to plant Turkey Streets. So as you look at this picture here, you as Berry Street Community Church have played your part. This is your church plant, not Enfield Town Community Church. It is together for mission, whether you sent people as part of the plant or not. And so planting Turkey Street Community Church means that the people of the Elsinge Estates now have a local church that are bursting to tell them the good news of Jesus. Can you imagine being in heaven and someone coming up to you saying, thank you so much together for mission. I'm in heaven because you planted Turkey Street Community Church. And through that church, I heard about Jesus and I trusted in him as my Lord and Savior. Now, that is something to get excited about, isn't it? That people, individual people on the Elsinge Estate, their eternity might get changed because we're in partnership and we planted together Turkey Street Community Church. If you're growing in excitement about being part of the Together for Mission partnership, I wouldn't be surprised if you feel a bit distant from some of the churches, like Turkey Street or High Barnet Baptist over in, you can guess it, High Barnet. You may be thinking, well, I might be getting more excited about being in partnership, but what difference can I make to those churches? And the truth is that if you're a Christian, you can make a real difference by praying for these churches. And I know that is true because of the example of the Apostle Paul. And if Paul had a home church, it would have been in the city of Antioch. Now, the city of Antioch is in modern-day Turkey. It's now called Antakya, if you're someone who likes Turkey and knows the geography. And yet, Paul left his home church, Antioch, and traveled all across the Eastern Mediterranean telling people about Jesus and planting churches. And one such church Paul started was the church of the Greek city of Thessalonica, now in modern-day Greece. It's still there, the city. So if you feel High Barnet Baptist is really far away, or you feel Turkey Street is really far away from where you are as Berry Street Community Church, then spare a thought between Antioch, Paul's home church, and Thessalonica, which is where he'd gone to and planted a church. There are roughly 1,050 miles between the two. It's the equivalent of London to Lisbon in Portugal or London to Naples in Italy. It's that kind of distance. And the Christians in Thessalonica Community Church probably would never, ever visit Antioch Community Church. They may never even meet a Christian, maybe from Paul, from Antioch Community Church. And yet, Paul says they can now have a powerful partnership in the gospel by praying for each other. And the same is true for us, that we might never visit High Barnet Baptist Church. You might never even know another Christian who goes to High Barnet Baptist Church. Maybe you will if you come to some of the events that the partnership lay on, like the Men's Day and the Women's Day and the Partnership Day. But you can have a powerful partnership in the gospel for those churches through prayer. And so if your excitement level has raised up maybe even just a notch and you're convinced that Together for Mission can have a powerful partnership in the gospel in prayer, it opens up the following question. What can I pray for? This is your question, Nigel. What can I pray for a church I don't know? I don't know the people and I might never visit. What can I pray for? And to answer that question is what we're going to listen to how Paul asked for prayer in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. So the first thing to say is pray the gospel would spread throughout Enfield. Pray that the gospel would spread throughout Enfield. You know, Paul is probably on the end of his second missionary journey. I quite like a map. I know that's probably not very clear to you, but I've given some arrows. So the yellow arrow is Antioch, and the red arrows are the way he goes round. So he goes anti-clockwise, I think. And so he goes from Antioch all the way to the blue arrow, which is Thessalonica. So he preaches the gospel of Thessalonica, and a church is planted. However, a mob of Jews rise up to drive Paul out of the city, and he has to flee to Corinth, which is the green arrow. And that's where he is when he writes the letter of 2 Thessalonians. He's in Corinth. He can't go back to Thessalonica. Eventually, he's going to go home to Caesarea and then back to Antioch. But he wants to write to them to encourage them about what he's been doing in a number of different cities, which, if you know your New Testament, you'll recognize the names: Philippi, Ephesus, Thessalonica. And the first thing he asks the Thessalonians to pray, if you've got a Bible, do grab it, is that the gospel message would spread rapidly. Have a look at verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. So knowing that Paul's going on this big tour telling people about Jesus in the Eastern Med, you can understand that prayer request. You know, pray that the gospel would spread and be honored. However, don't miss who's making the prayer request. Here's the great Apostle Paul. If you said, you know, put the top 10 Christians, he'd probably be up there, wouldn't he, in the top 10 Christians of all time. The big Apostle Paul is asking the baby Thessalonian Christians to pray for his evangelistic ministry. And perhaps that's a time and reminder, if you're a baby Christian or you feel quite weak as a Christian, your prayers really matter to other people. It's not the strength of the person who is praying, rather it's the strength of the God the person is praying to. So you can really have a difference. Even if you feel weak, even if you feel new in the faith, you have a real difference for the spread of the gospel. And if Paul was hungry for the prayers of the Thessalonians, as he goes round, that the message of the gospel would spread, then surely all of us should be hungry for other people praying for the church we belong to. You know, are we hungry for Enfield Town Community Church to be praying for Berry Street? And is Enfield Town Community Church hungry for Berry Street to be praying for you, for us? So what does Paul ask them to pray for? Well, he asks that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored. I'll come back to that in a moment. But it's good to define what the message of the Lord is. And let's just listen to how Paul describes what the message of the Lord, i.e. the gospel, the good news of Jesus, how he describes it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 9. This is what he says. They tell how you turn to God, this is about the Thessalonians, from idols to serve the living and the true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. And so Paul's gospel message to the Thessalonians is that before they were Christians, they used to worship idols. Now, instead of serving the God who created them, they served little statues and bowed down, or even big statues back in the day. Now, we might not think idol worship is a problem for us today, but it might not be a problem for us in the Western world, but it's definitely a problem elsewhere in the world. And yet, even in the Western world, even in London, we might not bow down to little statues. However, an idol is anything we look to for protection, for provision, for security, for comfort, for meaning. And so we might not worship little statues, but the idols we worship today are things like career, family, body image, friendship, money. We make sacrifices of these idols. If we worship career or money, we stay late at work, sacrificing other things. And Paul's gospel message is that we as human beings have turned away from the living God to serve false and dead idols. And that makes God angry. And you can understand why God is angry, because he is the one who deserves our worship. He created us. He sustains us. He keeps our hearts beating every moment of the day. He created amazing worlds for us to live in. And yet we turn away and we go after idols. And it's like a newly married man deserting his wife and having a relationship with another woman. You know, the wife would be really angry because he's promised to be with her, but he's run off to someone else. That's why God is angry. It's a bit like that. And God says that one day his anger will fall on those who continue to worship and serve idols. And that's what Paul means when he talks about the coming wrath. It's God's future judgments. There is a day when God's anger will be poured out against people who've worshipped idols rather than him. And yet, there is hope. there is hope of rescue. Jesus died on a Roman cross to bear the punishment for us for worshipping idols rather than worshipping God. And God raised Jesus from the dead, and that means that anyone who realizes their worship has been directed in the wrong place and they understand that God is rightly angry and they call on Jesus to take their punishments on the cross and they turn back to worship the true and living God, though that person is forgiven and brought into a right relationship with God. That is the gospel message that Paul preached to the Thessalonians. They believed it. It's the gospel message that we preach over this Together for Mission partnership. I'm sure it's the gospel message, maybe in different words, that Jake preaches week by week here in Berry Street. And if you're new to Christian things, that is the heart of the Bible message, that we're worshipping the wrong things that will only enslave us, and we need to turn our worship away to worship the true and living God. Let's get back to verse 1. Paul wants people to pray that this gospel message that he's just described spreads rapidly. More literally, in the original language, it says, pray for us that the message of the Lord may run. He wants the gospel to have the legs of Usain Bolt and sprint out to others from Philippi and Thessalonica and Corinth and Ephesus. There's an urgency about the gospel spread. And Paul also asks for prayer that the gospel will be honored in the same way as the Thessalonians honored it. Because when the Thessalonian Christians heard the gospel, what did? They turned away from worshipping idols to worship the true and living God and wait for Jesus, who rescued them from the coming wrath. So as you think about the two newest churches in the partnership, that's Turkey Street, that's High Barnet Baptist. Will you join with the rest of the partnership and pray that the gospel of the Lord Jesus runs from Turkey Street Community Church into the Elsinger Estate? Will you join with the partnership to pray that when the people of High Barnet hear the gospel, hear that they're worshipping false idols, worthless idols, that they'll honor the gospel message by turning away from idols and turning to worship the true and living God? May I ask, it's more of a rhetorical question, you don't have to answer, but my ask is it part of your corporate prayer times when you meet to pray together? If not, why not begin praying for a partnership church and praying this, that the gospel would spread, will run and be honored? Is it part of your own personal prayer times if you're a Christian? Are you praying that the gospel would run from Enfield Town Community Church and people would honor it through faith and repentance? You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if our partnership Sunday, our churches faithfully began to pray for each other, see the gospel spread and the gospel honored for each other? We might not be able to see it physically, but prayers would be like crisscrossing the borough of Enfield like spider's webs as we pray for each other. Let me give you two stories about what's going on in the partnership that encourage us to want to pray for other partnership churches so that we play our part. On that launch Sunday for Turkey Street, which you saw back then, at least two people from the community came into the service, and they'd never been going anywhere else. That's the first time they stepped foot in that building. That's an exciting development, isn't it? Pray that those two people might honour the gospel by believing the Lord Jesus. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the Lord heard your prayers for those two people, and then this time next year, we could hear that those two people have put their faith in Jesus? That would be good news, wouldn't it? The other story is from Enfield Town Community Church. So a lady emailed me and said, I want to come along to church. We had no contact with her beforehand. So she came along. She started reading the Bible with one of our women's workers. And she became a Christian. And she got baptized, all within the space of maybe 3 months. Now, that is quite super speeded up. We don't normally get that Enfield Town Community Church. I don't know whether you get that here. But that was a one-off. It was exciting to see it, that lady's destiny was changed from eternity separated from God to eternity with God. How much more exciting would those things be to you if you knew you'd been praying for the gospel to run out from Turkey Street and from Enfield Town, because you would be part of their story, because the God the Father would have heard your prayers and answered them. So what to pray for Enfield Town Community Church, when maybe you don't know many people there, pray that from it, the gospel might run out from it and spread and be honoured. And second, pray for protection from evil. As the gospel message spreads, some people will honour it by believing it. However, there will be people who will forcefully oppose the gospel message because they don't believe the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And Paul knew that. He had experienced that. And he asked for prayers of protection. Have a look down at verse 2. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. The way that Paul writes that in the original language suggests that he refers to a concrete situation. He's referring to a situation where there are faces to these people, people who were persecuting him. And it's quite likely that the Thessalonians also knew the situation too. A good guess is that he was referring to a group of Jews who had posed the message in Thessalonica. And then when he chased Paul out of the town to, I don't know where he'd gone to, well, the map's gone, maybe to Berea, I can't remember exactly where. And they actually followed him and chased him out the next town and followed him and chased him out the next town. They were hunting him down because they did not have faith in Jesus. I don't know what situation you face as a church or individual Christians as you seek to share the gospel with other people. However, Paul's words are a reminder that not every person you share the gospel with will be apathetic to Jesus. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you talk to other people about Jesus, they just like, yeah, and? They're quite apathetic. That's one response. But that's not going to be always going to be the response. Some people will hate Jesus and Christians and will pose a threat to them, either psychologically or emotionally or sometimes physically. And the threat isn't just aimed at Paul. The Thessalonian church was also in need of protection. Have that look down at verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you, Thessalonians, and protect you from the evil one. And behind all opposition to Jesus and the gospel is the evil one, also known as the devil. And the Thessalonians had experienced severe suffering for becoming Christians. It's possible, reading between the lines, that some Thessalonian Christians have been killed for their faith in Jesus. And so Paul's words must have been encouragement for them because the Lord Jesus could be trusted to strengthen the Thessalonians to face that persecution and protect them. So do we realize that we are part of in a spiritual battle as the gospel runs out from this church, as we share the gospel? We have an enemy, the devil, who is out to do us evil. Now, how the partnership churches experience this opposition may be different. So, for example, for Tim Locke in High Barnet, opposition might be a bit more subtle, a bit more refined. It could be a little tittle-tattle at the school gate. Oh, have you heard what that church is like? Oh, that's a horrible church. It could be a rumour war as people gossip false things about the church. Interestingly, once a month, a team from Enfield Town Community Church goes out into Enfield Town to share the gospel. You know, all we're doing is saying, would you like a flyer? It's not particularly in your face. Someone was so annoyed that they went onto Google and wrote us a really bad Google review. Now, obviously, that's very minor, but it's that kind of refined, subtle opposition that you might get. But for Gareth Skirman, Turkey Street, or Luke Krauser in Silver Street, that opposition may be a bit more on the surface, a bit more in their face. It could be people who try to disrupt their church meetings. Who knows? Look, I don't know Bury Street Church well enough to know what kind of opposition you face corporately, if you do, or what opposition you face individually. I sense that you might get more of the subtle and less in-your-face opposition, but I don't know for sure. You know, and maybe afterwards you can talk to people and try and work it out. But High Barnet Baptist and Silver Street need Christians at Bury Street to be praying for them that they are protected from the opposition inspired by the evil one. Whether that opposition is ever so refined or ever so raw, they need our prayers. And if you think about it, it's just an outworking of what Jesus taught us to pray, isn't it? He said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. as we pray for each other for protection as the gospel goes out, all we're doing is praying the Lord's Prayer. So how can you weave in prayers of protection for the partnership churches in your corporate praying as a church or your individual praying as a church? One way you could do this in your individual prayers is to pray that the Lord Jesus would protect Enfield Town Church. Maybe as you drive past it in the car or you walk past it, pray that we as Enfield Town would trust that the Lord Jesus can be trusted to strengthen us to face opposition and protect us. That we wouldn't be nervous about telling people the gospel because of opposition, but instead we trust, verse 3, that the Lord is faithful and he'll strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. So how might this week or this next month be different for you as a result of this Partnership Sunday? Sometimes it feels like they come and go. What difference is it going to make for you both corporately and individually? Well, the difference could be that in your personal prayers that you might begin to pray for maybe even just for one church a little bit more regularly. Here's my whiteboard at my office. So I try and pray, I don't always do it, for a partnership church each day. So on Mondays, I try and pray for you. And sometimes I think to myself, well, what do I pray for Bury Church? I've come here a few times, but not very regularly. What do I pray for them? So sometimes we have some prayer requests on the grapevine that comes out. What I can now pray for you guys, for this church, is that the gospel might run out of these doors, not deserting you, but the message might run and spread rapidly. And that I would be honoured that people become Christians. I can also pray that the Lord will protect you from the evil one and that he would reassure you that he's faithful in that protection. And I wonder whether, you don't have to do, I mean, I don't do it all, I'm not very perfect, I maybe do two or three each week, and then Turkey Street and High Barnet get Friday. But maybe, why not choose one? Choose one partnership church that you may have a link with, or maybe just if you don't have a link with any of them, choose at random, and pray for them. Pray those things that the gospel will spread from them, and they'll be protected from the evil one. Another difference could be that in your corporate prayers, you could choose to pray for a different partnership church each week, maybe in a part of your services, that the Lord would protect them from the evil one. And perhaps that's something to suggest to Jake or when he returns, or the elders, yeah, Veman and Nigel. So as we close as part of our service together, why don't I pray for us, and then we're gonna sing together. So let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this short passage that teaches us that we can pray for other churches and other Christians. Give us a heart to want to pray that the gospel would run out from the other partnership churches. We ask that the gospel would spread rapidly from this church, Bury Street. And we pray, and I pray, that you protect this church from the evil one. When opposition arises, please reassure the Christians here that you are faithful and that you will protect them from the evil one. Father, thank you for people becoming Christians across the partnership. I pray that in this next year, maybe one or two or three people might become Christians here in Bury Street. And that might lead to great joy here and great joy in the partnership. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.